You can be seated. You'll find my text in the book of Genesis this morning. Appreciate you. I fear many of us this morning in this camp meeting, by our own reactions to what happens to us, you would say of Brother Stacy's message, that's good preaching. I don't believe a word of it. Believe a word of it. In order to believe what he was preaching, it must show up in your reactions to your happenings. You must really believe that God is behind it all. Because if he's not, the devil's behind it, and he's out of control. Are you listening to me this morning? Began here yesterday pondering the various and sundry times that God would do things in a three-day pattern. There's certainly too many of them for it to be a coincidence that over hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of Bible history that he could cross his T's and dot his I's so many times in a three-day pattern. And we realize that his ability to do that would cause us to come to the conclusion that things happen, but they don't just happen. And if I am going to respond properly to my happenings, if I stand before my happenings and I am consumed with my happenings, they will take me down. But if I one time will peek-a-boo behind my happenings and see that God's behind it all, business shall pick up. And this is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this. This may be way over your head. Your happenings shall begin to make you happy. Are you listening to me this morning? We looked at the coronation of the God of the third day yesterday in the first 3 days of creation. He come right out of the gate telling us he's in control. First day spoke of his birth, second day spoke of his death, and the third day spoke of his resurrection, and he ain't even got here yet. Things happen, but they do not just happen. I want to turn our attention this morning to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to look at another one of these three-day patterns. And I want to preach this morning on the cross of the God of the third day. Genesis 22 is the Old Testament Calvary. It is probably one of the greatest pictures of Calvary next to Calvary that there is. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him. Isaac, his son, clave the wood. The burnt offering arose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I can't help but believe we was living today. Maybe Isaac would have asked his daddy. He said, Daddy, he said, have you checked the GPS? See how far it is over there to Moriah? He said, yeah. You notice the next verse? Got over there on the third day. Here the God of the third day has shown up again. Lest I forget to tell you, sometime I get back to the room and say, oh my, I wish I'd have told them that. Hey! Things happen. But they do not just happen. There is a director behind it all. I see in this journey that Abraham and Isaac are taking, I notice that they received a word. I notice in verse number 1 that it was a testing word. The Bible says it came to pass after these things. not a solicitation to do evil. The little word that's used there is a heartache, a trial, a valley situation, as we have so aptly heard of this morning. He's testing it. And it all come after these things. Abraham has had a life of test. He left his native land in the pursuit of that test. He gave up Lot to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had his hopes dashed. He thought Ishmael was going to be the deal. And finally, God has given him a son. He has fallen in love with this son. And now God comes with a word. And he says, I want you to kill the boy. Hey, things happen. But they do not just happen. I tell you, as things begin to unfold in your life and things begin to happen in your life, you better get you a word. I tell you, if you was listening to that last sermon, you could have jotted down, this is awful deep, I don't even know if you can get this or not, a bunch of words that'll help you in your time of difficulty. You won't have to suck your thumb and go over on Wednesday night whine and pray for me, because you done pick your boot behind what's happening to you and done saw him back there. Are you listening to me? You can go over there instead of sucking your thumb and whining. You can go over there on Wednesday night and say, I pick a boot over there and I saw him behind everything that's happening to me. It is a testing word. But I notice it is a targeted word. He said in verse number 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine. Cannot God count? Has he lost his ability to count? Was he not there for the deliveries? Abraham has got two boys. God don't recognize the first one. Gracious, if we could take that to Israel and Iraq and Iran this morning and settle a whole issue. God said, I never did think Ishmael was in this deal. It ain't never been nobody but Isaac. Thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. This is a targeted world. I'm telling you, God, when he begins to cause things to happen, they are not happening randomly. He's just not throwing out a little cancer here, little heartache here, little trial here. No, they're coming pointed, purposefully, just for you. He planned them just for you. I don't like that. Who does? The only thing that'll help you is if you were to pick a boo behind him. And there he stands. All of his glory and all of his majesty. He is a working it out. Hey! Things happen, but they do not just happen. It's a testing word. It is a targeted word. But it's a terrible word. You mean tell me sometime God give me a terrible word? Absolutely. He told him here in verse number 2. He says, I want you to go down there and offer him for a burnt offering. That is the most horrendous, one of the most awfulest, one of the most bloodiest, one of the most hideous offerings that Israel. You talking about giving Peter a heart attack. They would have had a heart attack if they would have been around when Israel was offering lambs as a burnt offering. And he ain't asking him to do that to a lamb. He said, I want you to take your boy over there and all that stuff you've been practicing on a lamb, he said, I want you to try it out on him. Hey! Things happen, but they do not just happen. He said, matter of fact, I've got the place picked out. He said, I want you to do it at Moriah. I'm telling you, things happen, Second Chronicles chapter number 3 tells us this place of Moriah, it is not only the place where Abraham offered his son as a sacrifice, but it is where God used David to stop the death angel from killing all of his people. And it's the same place that Solomon built his temple. If you'll ever see God's behind all your happiness, you'll die to your stinking self. You'll go to worshiping Him, and you'll see that God has been behind it all. Hey, things happen, but they do not just happen. There is a director behind it all. I'm talking about they received a word. But I notice in the text, not only did they receive a word, but they readily went. I don't know about you. If God would have told me, and I really couldn't get into your message last night because I got 3 sons. But if God told me to kill one of them, business would pick up. I'd say, I'd think about that. Not pray about it. Think about it. Are you listening to me? They readily went. I noticed in our text, in this readily went, it was a powerful journey. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up for me. That'd been a good morning sleep in. He's up early. There's only 2 reasons why you would be up early. Number 1, can't sleep. Or number 2, you're excited about what you're fixing to do. I believe with all my heart, Abraham's got a little of both of them going on. Can't sleep. But he is excited about obeying God. He's always been excited about obeying God. The guy reeks with obedience. The Bible says that he is up early in this powerful journey. I notice not only is it a powerful journey, but it's a prepared journey. He says in verse number 6, Abraham took the wood, burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac's son. Took the fire in his hands and the knife. They've got everything they need. Old Isaac's got the wood on his back. Old Abraham got a bucket of fire. He's got a bowie knife probably reached clear down below his knee, hanging on his side. They're ready. They're going to go and do what God has told them to do. Things happen, but they do not just happen. It is a powerful journey. It is a prepared journey. I notice it is a purposeful journey. He says in verse number 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Do not miss this. In the Hebrew, that little phrase, I and the lad, go with both of these phrases. I and the lad going to go over there and worship. I and the lad are going to come back. I'm going to go over there and kill him, and me and him coming back. Abraham, you crazy? No, I peek-a-boo behind my happiness. I saw he's back there. Bible says that he laid the wood on Abraham. He's got the bucket of fire, and I think there's nothing wrong with some questions. Isaac has a good question. He says in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Daddy, have you thought this thing out? Because see, Isaac don't yet know that he is going to be the lamb. And he asks his daddy, legitimate question. You got the bucket of fire? I see that bowie knife on your side. But we ain't got no lamb. Gracious, Abraham must have really peek-a-booed and saw this one. Because he says in verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. And if you'll check the original, as a lamb. God's going to be the lamb. He's going to come and be the lamb. Wow. Hey, Abraham, you ain't even got that crew. crucifixion story yet? And you done saw it? He said, yeah, I peek-a-booed back there and saw the whole thing. See, he wasn't eat up with killing Isaac. He was eat up with who was behind it. Hey, you'll never respond properly to your happiness till you see who's behind it. Huh? I'm talking about it as a prepared journey. I see also in the text, not only is it they received a word, they readily went, but they recognized the witness. I notice there's a witness of obedience. The Bible says in verse number 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and lifted up his knife. Time out. Hold on. I got a problem. Is he really going to do what I think he's going to do with all my heart? He's got the knife lifted up. What's he fixing to do with it, preacher? He has already formulated in his mind what God has asked him to do. He has asked him to offer a burnt offering. He is coming down with the knife just below the jugular. He is going to insert that knife in Isaac, and he's going to run it all the way down below his belly button. He is going to take out every living part. His heart while it's still beating, his lungs while they're still working, his kidney, every living part in the upper body. He is going to take it out, and he is going to put it under the altar, and he's going to set the whole thing on fire. And when God sees his hand in the air, and he sees there's a message coming from his mind to his hand to bring it down, he knows once and for all that he's got what he wanted. He never wanted Isaac. He wanted Abraham to die to his stinking self. I'm asking you this morning, in your happenings, have you ever raised the knife to your stinking self and died to you? Heard of an old preacher not long ago. He took his grandchildren to an old church out in the country. Said he wanted to show them a spot. One of his grandchildren said, "Papa, is that where you got saved?" He said, "Absolutely not." He said, "I got saved somewhere else." He said, "But it was right there that God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I died to my stinking self for the first time." Hey! You got a spot where you died to your stinking self and God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Things happen, but they do not just happen. How in this world did he able to lift that knife? He left the two witnesses. They didn't get to go. They did not get to witness this. Do not for one moment think that Calvary was a transaction between you and God. Absolutely not. It was a transaction between God the Father and God the Son. Ain't nobody witnessed what they transacted on Calvary on your behalf. The reason why he could raise the knife, Hebrews says, by faith Abraham offered Isaac. Time out! Hold on! Ain't that a misprint? He didn't offer Isaac. God said, "I thought he did." He said, "I saw it in his mind." He says, "I saw the message fixing to go to his hand and bring it down." He said, "It's a done deal. I saw him getting ready to do it." Huh? I love to hang on out of that, don't you? Well, how in the world could you do that? Abraham said, "I got him from the dead." He says his mama was dead. You know good and well, they had arguments about who could have babies all those years. I guarantee you, Sarah said it was Abraham couldn't have no babies. Abraham said, "It's probably you, you're barren." But when Abraham had a baby, it was clear then. Are you listening to me? Said his mom, the Bible said she was barren. That little word barren word in the Hebrew means no apparatus in the upper body to make a baby. I'm telling you, God didn't even have nothing to work with. It didn't mean she had all her little organs and all those little things. He could just get them right and they make a... She ain't got none of that stuff. I love that, don't you? He said, we got him from the dead. He said, I believe God can bring him back from the dead if I kill him. I love that. Hey! Things happen. They do not just happen. There is a witness of obedience. But I notice there's a witness of an offering. He's got his arm in the air. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, what? There's a ram caught in the thicket. What? By his horns. Rams don't get caught in no thicket by the horns. It's their place of power. They get caught in a thicket by the horns, they coming out of there. They'd be like a bull in a china shop. Only thing I can figure, he must be, it's awful deep, I don't know if you can get this or not, he must be a willing sacrifice. He has hung himself up in there, and he's a staying there, and till somebody comes and gets him out. Now, I know years ago when I first started preaching, I heard some preacher say it, and I picked it up and said, man, that's a girl, oh, that's wonderful. Now I don't believe a word of it. Preacher said that Abraham and Isaac was coming up one side with a problem, and God had the ram coming up the other side with the solution, and the two met at the top of the mountain. I don't believe a word of it. I believe this ram was born on top of that mountain. Wasn't born but for one reason, to take Isaac's place. And he's been up there going around feeding up there, and he's just been awaiting an opportunity to be a substitute for Isaac. It's the only purpose he came into this world. I love that, don't you? Huh? Hey! Things happen, but they do not just happen. The witness of an offer. Witness of obedience. I see there's a witness of observation. Abraham called the name of that place. What? Jehovah Jireh. The God who will see to it. The God who will see to it. I do not know if you know this or not, but every one of the verses in Psalms 23 is one of the double names for God. The Jehovah Jireh's. The Jehovah Shalom's. Preacher, you got any idea which one of them magnifies Jehovah Jireh, the God who will see to it? Yeah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. He said, my cup runneth over. Wow. Gracious. Did not Abraham's cup run over on top of this mountain? On the first day of this journey, 3-day journey, I did not know if you noticed that or not, God of the third day has showed up again. First day of that journey, Abraham probably had a tight grip on God and a tight grip on Isaac. As the journey went on, I'd imagine on day 2, he had a tight grip on God, a tight grip on Isaac, and he had begun to loosen his grip on God, thinking about killing that boy. But I think on this third day, he had a loose grip on Isaac, and he had both hands gripped on God, because he had seen him behind all that had happened. If you have the Bible this morning, I close with one verse, Acts chapter number 2. Because I have heard folks, and I don't doubt that I might have heard some of you say, I tell you, preacher, that sounds all right, but you don't know what's happened to me. I don't believe God's behind that. You just don't understand how bad it was. Well, Job had to straighten his wife out on that. She told him, cuss God and die. He told her, he said, you know, you've been going down there to the church house and shouting about that hand that brings us all this good, made us rich. He said, the same hand been bringing us this good is the same hand been bringing us evil. See, we love to say when everything's going well, that's the perfect will of God. Something bad happened to us, that's the permissive will of God. I don't care what you call it, God's still behind it. Huh? You can say he permitted it, or you can say he planned it. He's behind it. The most hideous, the most ungodliest, the most ferocious thing that ever happened in history. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Was this. Do you see that? That's called a cross. Most hideous thing that ever happened in history. You still here? Acts chapter number 2. Verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Look at the last part of verse 23. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. If you're standing in front of the cross, you think it's Pilate that was behind it. Them Roman soldiers that was behind it. Them hideous religious Pharisees and scribes. They're the one that killed my darling Jesus. But oh, before he shows us a front view in verse 23, he give us a peekaboo view on the backside. Watch the text. He says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. If you'll look behind Calvary this morning, you'll see God the Father standing there with a knife, taking it to his own son. If he was behind that hideous act, he must be behind everything that happens to me. Are you listening to me this morning? Preacher, how in this world am I going to be able to handle what's happening to me and what is going to happen to me? You must hang around Calvary. And it may be while you're hanging around there, you'll get a hold of this. And at last, did my sovereign bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt I love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. The only thing I can figure is that the songwriter of this song, which happened to be Isaac Watts, lived a long time ago. The course, he must have done a peekaboo behind Calvary, because he says in the course, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Hey, Isaac, what did it do for you? He said, and now, right now, I'm happy. I'm happy. He said, my happiness has made me happy all the day. God of the third day, cross. Who was behind it? Bible clearly tells us the most hideous happening in all of creation. God was behind it all. I wonder this morning, maybe you need to get in this altar, peekaboo, behind what's happening to you, and see God is behind it all. We're standing, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Jordan coming, whatever he's got this morning. I don't know what your need is. Maybe you have looked at your valley and it's not a barren corn. You just feel like it's dry, it's dead. Why don't you pick a boo behind your valley this morning? See that God's behind your valley. You may look back there and see Him, and your valley might start sprouting some corn. Huh? I tell you, if you're consumed with your happiness, you'll never see corn in your valley. But oh, when you die to yourself, see that God's behind it. Corn might start sprouting up. God's speaking to you. I can just imagine there's enough happenings in this Brush Arbor this morning to sink a ship. And there's some of you sitting right here this morning in your mind's eye. You don't believe God was behind it. You believe a devil was behind it, even when you have gotten clear biblical evidence that it wasn't. I tell you, that happening will eat you up until you pick a boo behind it. See that God, behind this world of Jesus, go to Calvary. He picked a boot behind it and saw that the Father was behind it all. Not my will, but thine be done. They're singing, they're playing, altars open. God is speaking to you. Seek the Lord. He can be found.
Such a word.
people said. Oh, Lord. What a morning. What a morning. Thank God for the preaching. I have appreciated the singing, but I do thank God for the preaching. If you didn't get something out of that to help you, you did not come with the right attitude in your heart. That's all I can say. We need to learn to stay low. Help me to stay low. That's where the corn grows. You say, well, they're doing me wrong. But David just stayed right there. Kept on a serving. It wasn't right. No, it wasn't right, but he kept on serving. He stayed low. But one day God lifted him up. What a morning. I thank God for it. I appreciate everyone that's here. Appreciate the children's home from Tri-State Children's Home from Brookside Baptist Church. They were supposed to sing for us this morning again, but it just didn't work that way. But I appreciate them being here. Appreciate Brother Mike, their pastor, Miss Rosemma, Miss Diane. I want to tell you, if you want to help some children, you need to see them. Be good to help them financially. They're a blessing. They have camp meeting there. Starts, I believe, July 23rd. Is that right? The whole week. Be a good meeting for you to go to. You let them know we appreciate them being here. They'll be going back this afternoon.